Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your word is a living word. We thank you that it speaks the truth from you, the living God. We thank you it is a word of blessing. And we pray that you would work through that word supernaturally this evening with each of us. Please, would we be blessed by it? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this giving series actually ended a few weeks ago, didn't it? We've had the half term, we've had the holiday club in between, but I wanted to keep this little extra session as a last session. So this is the last time, at least for, as far as I can see, for a little while, that I'll be speaking on the topic of giving. Do you remember when we started the series a little time ago? I gave you some statistics which suggested that actually we weren't perhaps as loving a church as we should be, according to our giving. And I'm glad to tell you now, last night we had a meeting of the PCC, and it included a financial update, and it's my delight to tell you that Lionstown has come through. I was deeply moved and greatly encouraged by what John Govey, our treasurer, shared with us all. I'm particularly pleased for several reasons. Firstly, because it demonstrates the power of God's word. When people open the thing out of which fly the moths, that is to say one's wallet or one's pocket or your purse and your handbag, that shows that God is at work, doesn't it? And so I'm thrilled to see that God is working here through his word. Secondly, I'm thrilled to see that it demonstrates us to be what I'm so glad to see is genuinely a loving church. That's to say, a real church, a church that puts its money where its mouth is. I mean, we are talking real, significant, recent change, dramatic change recently. And I'm thrilled about what that says about what God is doing in us as a little church. And thirdly, I'm thrilled because it promises rich blessings to our members. I want us all to be blessed. I really do. I want you all to experience the blessings of God. I'm so glad that we have addressed this topic, and I'm so glad that many of you will now be experiencing blessings. I was talking to somebody earlier this evening who said that they'd come upon an amazing saving scheme. It really was. It looked almost too good to be true. And so they took some advice, and the advice was, yes, this really is good. You need to do something straight away. And they didn't. And they left it, I think, for a week. And then they went back on the net to find out, they found the scheme had closed. It was found to be so profitable, too many people had taken it up, and they said, we're not taking any more. So their delay had meant that they missed out on that. And tonight, I guess what I'm trying to do is, if there's anyone who I would call a straggler, who hasn't taken advantage of this blessing, I want to try and scoop you up even tonight. We might say this is last chance saloon. Because, of course, if you don't act fairly quickly, you're not going to act at all. Once another week has passed, it'll be off the horizon, we'll be on to something else. And so I thought we would look at that very last sentence of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. I'm going to read out to you now, and we're going to look briefly at that. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 9 says this: thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Want to look at that inexpressible gift. You know, the word for gift in the original language is actually the word meaning bounty. Bounty describes an overflowing fullness and richness. And that word gift includes, of course, in its meaning, the fact that it is free. That's what a gift is. A gift is free of charge. It's received without payment. And it also includes the idea that it's undeserved. That's also inherent in the idea of a gift. So we're talking about bounty that is overflowing in its richness and undeserved. That's what Paul is referring to. And these rich This rich and undeserved bounty from God is, according to Paul, inexpressible. He is lost for words to describe it. Now, I guess we live in a culture where words are often used to overstate reality. So I think the advertising world is very good at this. You know, the advertisement for a car, you buy this particular type of car, your whole life is going to be turned around because you have this car. You're suddenly going to have a new kind of social life. Your whole world will be better as a result. Or if you wear the right aftershave, you know, the girls are just going to be falling over to get to know you. Or you put on the right clothes, your life will be transformed for the better. And then those are ridiculous overstatements, aren't they? Things can be inexpressible for another reason, and forgive me if this is a little military story, and I may have told you before, so excuse me if I have, but it's just an occasion when somebody was lost for words. Imagine a helicopter flying along, low level, very fast, with the door open, and some people inside looking out of the door. And one of the people concerned had undone their safety belt in order to reach something and forgotten to do it up again. And the helicopter, as pilots are wont to do, turned a sharp corner, as it were, and turned completely sideways. And this guy just disappeared through the open doorway. He didn't even touch the sides. It was like a billet ball sort of falling into a pocket, just completely disappeared. Fortunately, the loadmaster had put a strop onto the harness that he was wearing, which was fixed to the roof of the fuselage. So this guy was dangling below the helicopter like a sort of frog with his nose skimming the hedges as it flew at about 80 miles an hour. And he was pulled back in. He was lost for words. He couldn't speak, apparently, for several minutes. And he was quite a loquacious sort of person. And he couldn't find anything to say. People said, "How are you?" And he just... He did eventually regain the power of speech, but it did take a little while. Now, you see, what Paul is saying here is this gift is inexpressible. It's inexpressible. So what is it that makes Paul lost for words? Well, it's talking about the bounteous gospel of God. It's talking about the way that God foreknew a people. He chose to love a people before the creation of the world. It's talking about how he predestined that people. He determined their ultimate destiny before they even existed. It's describing how he called that people through the gospel. He called them by his church through the gospel. And how through that call of the gospel, that people are downtime justified. If you're a Christian believer here today, you are justified. That means you're made righteous in the sight of God through the death of Jesus Christ. And it means that you're headed for certain glory for all eternity. And so through the cross comes forgiveness, comes cleansing, comes the accounting of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, comes adoption into the family of God, and comes the eternal blessings of supreme quality to be enjoyed with God for all eternity. And that is the inexpressible gift of God. And of course, it is provided at infinite cost to God, the cost of his dear Son. But of course, for us, it is both free and it's undeserved. So this inexpressible gift, I'm quickly going to share with you three truths about the inexpressible gift. Firstly, it is the foundation of giving. So if you go back to chapter 8, verse 1, you'll see it's where we came in, and you will have recapped this, I hope, this evening. Do you see, just flip back one page, and he starts in this section on giving by saying, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given." So he's talking about this same thing, this inexpressible gift of God, this grace of God that has been given. So you see, where he started in chapter 8, verse 1, he now finishes in chapter 9, verse 15. And in effect, he is saying to any visitor, anybody who is not a Christian, he's saying, look, we don't want your money. And I want to say that to anyone here who is not yet a Christian. I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be graceless. I don't want to offend anyone. But I want to say we definitely do not want your money. We really do not. Please don't give us anything. I would hate you to think that you could somehow give us something when what we have to give you in the gospel, the inexpressible gift of God, is infinitely more valuable. And so it's saying that giving has only arisen as an option because of this inexpressible gift. It's the foundation of giving. I remember once seeing a building being, there was a place in the city of London that I used to go every week, and there was a building that was being, had been knocked down and was being rebuilt. And it was very interesting each week to see how the building was progressing. And for the first few weeks, all they did was dig down, down, down. So far down that eventually you couldn't actually see far enough into the ground. They were just going down and down. You think, what is this, a new underground station or something? But no, then you saw all the steel girders and the concrete and all the other stuff going in. And then once they'd got the foundation fixed, the building itself was up, it seemed like, in just a few days. You know, that hardly took any time. But the foundation was the key. And you see, this foundation, the inexpressible gift of God, is the key. There's no giving without that. That is the foundation of all things. Secondly, the inexpressible gift is the call to love. Do please look at chapter 8, verse 8. You will have looked at it this evening, but let's look at it briefly again. Chapter 8, verse 8. He says, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. Your love is genuine. So 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. In other words, he's saying that love, by the way, is the foundational characteristic of the Christian. Being a Christian isn't just about understanding doctrine in the right way or going to the right places. It is about loving God. That is the foundation of Christianity. And he's saying if love is going to be genuine, it must be matched by financial giving. So he's really saying that this key characteristic of love derives from this inexpressible gift of God, and that is love in giving. So that's why giving is described as the act of grace. Do you remember it's twice described like that in chapter 8? Showing that grace has been received. That saving faith in God's grace is genuine. A heart open to God's grace won't keep its bank account closed to God. And so that's why it is the call to love. But of course, we've got to love in the right way. You see, I'm not free to invent the way that I love. For example, the Bible tells me I must love my neighbor. That doesn't mean I'm free to have an affair with the wife of my neighbor because she's my neighbor. See, I'm not free to do that. Or with my same-sex colleague at work, because I just rather like him and like the idea. No, you see, I must obey God's command to love in the way that God has ordained. That is to say, with a pure, self-sacrificing gospel love that honors God and so serves the very best eternal interests of that person, not in a selfish, exploitative way that hurts other people. And so it is with giving, you see. By the way, these chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, there is nowhere else in the Bible where giving is dealt with in such detail. This is what some would call the classic location. There are other places in the Bible where giving is addressed, but these two chapters are the greatest and deepest teaching on giving. And I think that's a generally accepted view. And so I'm not free to give as I just sort of like to give, as I think is appropriate. I'm rather to follow the directions of the Bible, and in this instance, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 in my giving. And they're very specific. So you see, they call upon giving to be generous. not legalistic or measured. They call upon it to be self-sacrificing. They call upon it to be voluntary, to be free will, to be cheerful, to be to the church, to be giving that is actually done, not merely planned about for the future, to be honourably administrated, and to be given to what is known to be honourably administrated. That is in a way that serves the gospel of God. And to be regarded as a privilege in that it proves saving faith to be real. And it does invoke the extraordinary blessings promised by God in chapter 9. Those amazing blessings of God that will deepen our relationship with God and bless the gospel work of his church. So that's why the inexpressible gift is the foundation of giving. It's the call to love. And my last point is this. It's the power that makes it all possible. You see, what God has done here at Lion's Den was not the work of man. I hope nobody thinks that. It was the work of God. God has been at work in Lion's Den. That's why I was so moved last night. I'm just so grateful to God for being at work in our little church. I think that's wonderful. This is actually where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Where the gospel turns into financial giving. That's real in a way that everyone can understand. So that's really all I've got to say about the inexpressible gift. It's the foundation of giving, it's the call to love, and it's the power that makes it all possible. That's why Paul started there. That's why he finished there. And I want to say to anybody here who is, or anybody who might later be listening to this on the internet, if you're not a Christian, please come to the gospel as it's presented in the Bible and receive that inexpressible gift of God. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, how gracious you are, what riches you have poured out to us at such infinite cost to yourself, free of charge to us, undeserving. We thank you so much for that, Father. We thank you for the way that you have evidently moved powerfully in this church through your word in this matter of giving. We thank you for that, Father. We delight in it, and we commit ourselves to you for the future. We pray for anyone who has not yet availed themselves of this amazing privilege to prove their love genuine. And we pray for those who don't yet know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that their hearts and eyes would be opened. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.